Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the fifth chapter. Once again, comes from the fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel, verses 38 through 48. As it has been the last several weeks, these are difficult words, difficult ideas to wrestle with, and we are called to wrestle with these ideas. So as I read these words of Jesus, listen for what they might be speaking to you at this point on your faith journey. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you. And do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, everybody just take a deep breath and let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. You see, you've just about made it. You have just about made it. You've just about made it through the Sermon on the Mount, at least the part that we're going to read this year. This is our third and final week wrestling with words from Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, found only in the Gospel according to Matthew. And that means that our third and final week of hearing words and ideas like this. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And words like this. You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out. Throw it away. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. Yikes. And then today, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your cloak, give your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go two. Give to everyone who begs from you. Do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Wow. Friends, we've just about made it. We just have to get through this sermon. And then we'll be home free. Home free. And just think, I cut it a week short because of a snowstorm. You could have had 4 weeks, but you just gonna have three. And if we make it, we will have another 3 years before we have to worry with these disturbing words again. Now, I don't know if it was a warm weather. I don't know. Or the warm-up, you know, that began a couple of 3 weeks ago, or the trees starting to bud, or the daffodils. You have daffodils up in it? Yes, the daffodils popping up over the place, or my sinuses starting to turn against me, or something else entirely. But this past week or so, I've been starting to think about warm weather. Summer! Summer, just around the corner. You know that, don't you? Just around the corner. And when I think about summer, I think about several things. I think about going to the park. I think about going to the beach, which is one of my favorite places to go. I think about eating outside. I think about going to baseball games, going over to the Durham Bulls games. I think about lots of things. But more than else, as I said with the kids, I think about going to the pool. We always went to the pool when I was a kid. Every summer from Memorial Day to Labor Day, we would go almost every day when we were out of school. We'd go, we spent hours at the pool, the community pool, as we called it. So it was a ritual of sorts. Did you go to the pool as a kid? Do you remember that? Going, some of you? Okay, good, good. Go to the pool. What do you remember most about the pool? The chlorine smell, maybe? You remember? Did you have diving boards? We had diving boards back then. We had high dives. Wow. Anyway, the lifeguards, you know. But the thing we always talked about, and I talked about with the kids, were the rules. The rules are always central at the pool. And so, do you remember the pool rules? Okay. We're going to name them. We're going to name them because I find these very important for me at the beginning of each summer. And we're calling this beginning of summer. This is in deep increase in order of intensity, I guess. 10. Pool is for use by members and, okay, you know it. Children under must be accompanied by an adult. Good. Shower before. Okay, you've been there. Okay, then came the nose. You know, that was the no. There was like the struggle. These are the no's. Number 7, no glass containers. No food or drink. No pets. No pushing. No diving. No horseplay. No horseplay, folks. That is my favorite one. No horseplay. At any time. But the number one pool rule, they knew it. No running. No running. And I double-checked these. I went and double-checked these official pool rules. I got it right off the sign. I found a sign, and those were listed in that order. So have you ever been to the pool where people follow these rules? Every one of them. No, you have not. Absolutely not. No one observes all of the pool rules all of the time because they just can't help themselves. They just cannot help themselves. Sometimes they engage in horseplay. I remember that. Sometimes they feel compelled to sneak a drink onto the pool deck. Sometimes they feel like they need to get a snack in the bag, the pool bag. And more often than not, they find themselves running when they know they should not be running. Okay. But just because we don't always follow every single pool rule all of the time does not mean that the rules are invalidated. No, I know. You see, we all know that the pools are not there to limit our fun and enjoyment of the pool. That's not their purpose. We realize that the point of rules is to enhance our pool experience. Okay? So though we may fall short of pool expectations year after year after year, that doesn't matter. Because we will get another chance next year. And maybe then we'll do a little bit better. Maybe we will even get some help from those who swim with us. You see, we rehearse the narrative visit after visit, season after season, generation after generation, with words like, remember, remember, please do not run around the pool. Remember that. And of course, we still run from time to time, but across time, the words begin to work on us, and they begin to change us. And then one day, we find ourselves mysteriously walking instead of running. You know, I learned something this past week that stunned me a bit. As far as I can tell, today, the 7th Sunday after Epiphany, in the first year of a 3-year lectionary cycle, is the only Sunday of the entire 3-year cycle on which a passage from the book of Leviticus is read. Only one Sunday, and that's today. And most time, like I said, we don't even get a 7th Sunday in Epiphany. So it never gets read hardly. And that's a shame. That's a shame, because these words from Leviticus 19 are foundational for us. They're descriptive of who we are. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." That's it. In our meta-narrative, we talk about being inspired. You know, we've talked about this many times. Inspirited by the breath of God. We talk about bearing the image of God on our souls. The ancient story found in Genesis 2 is dramatic and it is chilling. "Then the Lord God formed the human from the dust of the ground and breathed into its nostrils a breath of life, and the human became a living being." That's chilling. That's a great image for us. "You shall be holy because I am holy, says the Lord, because I breathe life into you every single moment of your life. And because I do that, your life should look like this. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap it to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien, because I am your God, and I breathe life into your very souls." Huh. Remember, some scholars, I've mentioned this many times, I find it just fascinating to me that just the name of God is the sound made when we breathe. Yahweh. I love that. "You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to one another, and you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God, because I am your God, and I breathe life into you." "You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. You shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, because I am your God, and I breathe life into you every single moment." "You shall love your neighbor as yourself, because I'm your God, and I breathe life into you every single moment." Sometimes we get angry with other folks. Sometimes we even get violent with other folks. Sometimes we return evil for evil. Sometimes we don't forgive. Sometimes we hate. Sometimes we assert our prerogatives in an act of domination. Sometimes we curse our brothers and our sisters who are made in the image of God. Sometimes we take things that don't belong to us. Sometimes we profane our sacred lives. But then we gather. Then we come together week after week and we rehearse the narrative. We remind ourselves. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to all the congregation. Say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And then we go back. We go back out there. Then we come back next week. Remember. How about this? "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Let the same mind, not kind of like it, you know, approach that. "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Or, "You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light shine before others. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be children of your Father in heaven." These ancient words are not preserved in order to limit us, to encroach on our lives, to cramp our style. That's not their purpose. Their point is to enhance our lives. And they enhance our lives by slowly and ever so incrementally transforming us into the image of Christ. Anglican Bishop John A.T. Robinson once defined the practice of Holy Communion as simply making holy that which is common. That's beautiful. And that's what we're doing, you know. That's what we're doing. When we come together as the body of Christ, when we commune, when we form a community, we're making holy that which is common. Jesus paraphrased a Levitical call to be holy with these words. He said, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And that's it. That's the bottom line. That's a Sermon on the Mount in a nutshell. We call this process of becoming holy sanctification. That's what we call it. And this is and has always been central to who we are as United Methodists. John Wesley talked frequently about Christian perfection, which he described as loving God with all you are and your neighbor as yourself. Combine, as Jesus did, combining Deuteronomy 6, parts of 6, 4 following, and Leviticus 19, 18. And it is here that the traditional words of the baptismal covenant ring true. When asked if they will be faithful to their baptismal covenant, the respondent replies this way, I will with God's help. Now, friends, don't get all worked up about the Sermon on the Mount. No, just let it work on you. Let it just settle on you a little bit. In reality, it puts forth a very simple idea. Last week, we heard the way the prophet Micah shared that with us. Micah put it sarcastically, he asked, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? In other words, you give me an itemized list, I'll knock it out, I'll check it off, done. But then the prophet says, no, that's not it. That's not it. It's not about checking off, off a to-do list. You know, oh, I'm a follower of Jesus. Got it. That's not it. It's about living into the very presence of God. Hear it again. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice. To love kindness. To walk humbly with your God. Anything else is just horseplay. And he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. And he said to them, follow me, walk with me. And immediately, they left their nets, and they followed him. Thanks be to God. Amen.